There's a new ism out there, and it's not about gender or age or skin color. It's about politics, and it's called partyism. That's when someone discriminates based on political belief. A study out of Stanford University found people are now more likely to discriminate based on politics than they are on race. Producer Hannah Byrne took to the streets to find out whether people in Seattle have experienced this.
Yeah, definitely. They always say, oh yeah, you're a Democrat, you believe in this and this and this.
You get to that point where, yeah, your view is crazy.
I don't really think so, probably because I've chosen cities where a lot of people that I live near have similar beliefs. But I feel like most of the time I try to engage people with the opposite political debate, they either feel attacked or they get defensive, and it never really gets to a point where you're having a real conversation about anything. It's just everyone seems kind of stuck in their own beliefs and not really willing to entertain other ideas.
Are you better off? You know, you've heard that speech. Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? Both can make claims to have made progress, and both can have failures.
Seattleites talking about their experiences with discrimination based on political belief. In the U.S., it's against the law to discriminate based on race, sex, and religion. When it comes to political beliefs, federal law does provide some legal protection, but only for federal employees. So does that mean partyism's okay? Michael Blake teaches philosophy at the University of Washington. He says partyism and racism are very different beasts, but they do have one thing in common.
They're both ways in which people can treat others unfairly. The way in which they're different, I think, is that racism isn't just animus. It's not just feeling unwilling to spend time with people. It's a whole history of power and the lack of power. Put simply, neither Democrats nor Republicans actually have to go to the back of the bus. They kind of share power fairly evenly. We have a good chance after a pretty powerful Republican trouncing in the most recent election of having a Democratic president.
The Stanford research found that partyism has been on the rise since the 1980s. Why do you think that is?
Well, this is an odd thing to say, but I think it's largely because of Facebook. There's a way in which we no longer have a single narrative. If you want to have nothing but Republican sources for your news, you have your own networks, and you can surround yourself on Facebook by like-minded people who will comment on the same stories. In the old days, I mean, I'm old enough to remember Walter Cronkite. We had one source for what the narrative was, and then different people would disagree about what we should do in response to that narrative. Now we've got what amounts to narrowcasting, and you never have to actually take the other side seriously or do business with them.
Michael Blake is here. He's an ethicist with the University of Washington. The law and public opinion are clear. It's not okay to discriminate against somebody based on race or religious preference. It's not so clear when we talk about political beliefs. In your mind, is it ever okay ethically to discriminate against someone based on how they vote or what they believe politically?
Well, I think the real question is, what context are we talking about? If you're talking about relationships and ordinary life, I think it's actually not all that bad. If my wife came out as a Republican and I'm a Democrat, that leads to a lot more arguments around the kitchen table. There might be some value to us agreeing.
So that's a discrimination on who you would choose to ally yourself with in your personal life.
Yeah.
What about when it comes to hiring?
Hiring is going to be a very much more nuanced story. The majority of cases, I think, you probably ought to think of employment as a sort of public accommodation where everyone ought to have an equal shot. Now, it's possible to imagine some cases in which some political views might disqualify you from doing that job.
Like what?
Well, imagine that you've got someone who believes in a legitimate rape, the body will shut down. Some of the Republican comments on abortion, and they apply to work in a context with rape survivors or in a rape crisis clinic. And they obviously don't get the job, and they say, you're discriminating against me based on my religious view or my personal political view. Well, in those contexts, I think we can say it's a bona fide occupational qualification that you not have a particular belief that's going to get in the way of you doing the job. But the fact is that you have to come up with that kind of tortured example to find a case. In most cases, if people show up and they do the job, you never know until they friend you on Facebook what they happen to be as a voter.
Michael Blake is in the studio with me. He's a philosopher at the University of Washington, and we're talking about this idea of partyism, discriminating against somebody because of what they think politically. Last week, the Republican Party came out the very clear victor with the midterm elections, and The day after the election, President Obama, in his news conference, his long news conference, said that he'd enjoy having a glass of bourbon with the new supposed Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Those sorts of relationships with people that you don't necessarily agree with ideologically can be productive, can't they?
Absolutely. One of my favorite adages from politics is that you can get anything done so long as you don't mind who gets the credit. Increasingly, I think, though, we're much more likely to dispel ideas based upon to whose credit they are, who came up with them. There's a point at which I think the president would be likely to refuse a Republican idea, even if it was free, cheap, and wonderful, and vice versa, of course. So the idea that we could actually sit down over some bourbon and get things done is refreshing. I am skeptical as to whether it's going to happen.
Michael, we're sitting here in Seattle, a bastion of liberalism by anybody's measure, east of the Cascades in our state, Spokane, a little more conservative, some places even more conservative than Spokane. Washington is so politically divided. We talk about the Cascade Curtain. Some people have not even facetiously suggested that we divide into two states. What does this idea of partyism, do you think, mean for Washington State?
Well, I think it means that there's a lot of pressure put on the concept of us, of a we that's going forward. One of the things that democracy requires is a willingness to lose, to be outvoted, and not take your ball and go home. And the further away we get from that, the closer we are towards secession or a demand that we live in isolation from the people we disagree with. And that's always a sort of tragedy, I think, when there's a separation that says we just can't live together anymore. I think Washington State would be tremendously impoverished if it was divided into two, the right wing and the left wing, because I think we'd lose sight of the importance of healthy debate and living with people who disagree with us.
Do you have any optimism that we can transcend the sort of rut of partyism that we're stuck in?
I think that varies almost day by day as to whether I'm optimistic. The only thing that gives me some optimism is talking to my undergrad students who are just fed up. They're tired with the world that old people like me have made, and they want to do something different. One wonderful idea from the past 50 years of political philosophy has been that almost all of the political philosophies that have stood the test of time can be interpreted as interpretations of the ideal of treating people as moral equals. None of us are fascists. None of us are monarchists. We all are trying to figure out how to govern ourselves and treat people fairly. And when you think of it that way, the people who disagree with you are not crazy and demonic. They just have different ideas about how to do the same thing we're all doing.
Michael Blake is an ethicist and a professor of philosophy at the University of Washington. We asked you to share your experiences with discrimination based on political beliefs, and a lot of you admitted sometimes you are the discriminators.
For me, the question can also be, do I think disdainfully of people who support a party of ours that doesn't believe in climate change, doesn't believe in regulations, feels the marketplace will take care of everything? I don't think I discriminate, but I certainly do think disdainfully.
I actively discriminate against Democrats and Republicans because they're idiots.
I am guilty of partyism on occasion. When I hear someone is a Republican, I will already have formed an opinion, and I have to be persuaded if you want to interact with this person.
For one listener, partyism got very personal.
So I once dated a liberal woman who felt so strongly about her beliefs that she, at a party, when I defended the wealth of Bill Gates, she punched me in the nose and finally decided she couldn't have intimate relations with a conservative.
You're tuned to The Record on KUOW.